This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Wysong, the thinking person's pet food.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up. Get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Hey, good morning, y'all. It's Martha Norwalk, and welcoming you to the first hour of our first edition of the new year. It's Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Now, the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. All right. It is probably the nicest Sunday morning we've had in a long time looking out the window here. I mean, A, we are all in the studio. That includes Animal World's production engineer, Gary Hill, is here with his electric blue racing stripes down his sleeve. And Animal World's co-producer and call screener, Sandy Gaston, in the other room. Hey, hey, got everybody's name out before anybody had a chance to chime in. It looks like Sandy's on the phone already. That didn't take long. So, hey, Gear. Not that we've been in the studio a lot regularly lately. I mean, for heaven's sakes, first time in 15 years, two Sundays in a row in December that we weren't in the studio. The first time ever we ran a recorded show in 15 years. But we're back in the saddle again.
Yeah, two weeks in a row.
Albeit we're not quite back in
to
the saddle.
Not even
really
close.
Because we had a few little glitches last week. Technical glitches. But of course, see, nothing is Gary's fault anymore because he put chains on his car.
Right.
Left at the crack of dawn and blazed his way through the storm to get here on the last Sunday that I was unable to get in the studio. So that kind of covered the bases for any Gary mistakes.
And I see I'm really taking advantage of that.
You certainly are. Because, as you might have noticed, things were a little out of sequence starting the first hour of
today.
Because I'm sitting here, Gary and I are sitting here, and the last promo or something is running before 9 o'clock and the show starts, and I'm thinking, oh boy, and I say out loud, oh boy, it's time for the Red Robin. We haven't heard the Red Robin for a month.
And I say,
and
oh,
Gary's face turns like
right.
white. He gets this blank look on his face, like an oh bleep happens. And he realized, of course, he didn't have it loaded and ready to go because, you know, like I said, so there you go. We got the glitches out of the way, but it wasn't his fault.
Well, hopefully we have the glitches out of the way.
Yeah. No, we got them out of the way.
Live radio.
Live radio, that's what it would be.
Yes.
Good morning, Ms. Gaston.
Good morning, Ms. Norwalk and Mr. Gary.
Yeah, I was speaking to you earlier, but you were already on the phone.
Well, I was. You know, when you were in my studio and I said, oh, I don't know that phone number.
Right.
Well, I didn't know that phone number, but it actually was another veterinarian calling that knows my phone number and wanting to be on the air at 9:30 with Dr. Pluckner. He's actually someone who works with Dr. Pluckner, so... and Al told him to give a call. So,
I was just talking to Dr. Al, you know, setting up this week's show. I was talking to him Friday evening, I think, and he mentioned a vet that was really excited about his work and doing a ton of cases in the Midwest somewhere, I think. But the guy was really excited about Dr. Al's work and the patients he was helping now and all that sort of stuff, and it indicated that he might be interested in being on the show. So is that the guy, do you think, that called?
I think it might be.
Oh. Hey, how cool is that? Well, very good. Well, we'll see what shakes out when we get to Dr. Al. Let's see. And in case you haven't figured it out, it is the first Animal World show of the new year. Happy New Year, everyone. Hope you had a nice New Year's celebration. And certainly, I don't know, I'm not in the habit of going anywhere anymore with all the snow we had in December. I went out yesterday and I keep track of all my mileage. I mean, I write everything down every time. You know, I have a little log book in my car. When I got home after going to the store yesterday, and I pull out my mileage log in the garage, I realize I haven't been anywhere. I haven't been out of the house. The last time I logged into my mileage log was last Sunday when I did the show. It's like, oh my gosh, I didn't go. Did I really not drive anywhere for a whole solid week? And that's after like 10 days of stuck in the snow. It's like, yeah. So I guess I've just been, any of the rest of you just programmed to just like not go anywhere anymore?
Just hibernate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, so.
And you know, Martha, I just have to put my two cents. Yes, you are right. This doctor is from Springfield, Illinois, because I just looked up his area code number.
Huh.
So it must be the
be the one that Al mentioned to me. So it'll be interesting to chat with him. Apparently, he's all gung-ho. He says he's going to get the whole world awakened to this. So, I mean,
good.
He's really, yeah. So there you go. It'll be fun to talk to him.
Right. Yep.
All right. Speaking of, so it is the first Sunday of the month, and that means it's Vet Sunday today with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program that applies to dogs, cats, horses, and humans. He will be joining us after the bottom of the hour and will be here until noon today. We, of course, will have open phone lines for your animal and or human medical care questions. And in addition to that, speaking of open phone lines and so forth, I just want to mention it now in terms of some follow-up. A month ago, the first Sunday of December, when Dr. Al was here, Sandy, you were down being educated in Portland, so you weren't here, and Gary and I were by ourselves, which we managed to get through the show without you, but just barely. And we had a gal call from Ocean Shores. Her name was Heather. She was calling from Ocean Shores about her one-year-old daughter who had serious autoimmune problems going on. And she said her computer would be down for a month and that she was not listening to the show, but a listener of ours had told her about the show and what was going on medically with her daughter, told her to call into the show that Sunday to get advice about her daughter's care from Dr. Al. And it was a fascinating case, but a very serious one. And because you weren't here and it was just me and Gary, we didn't get any contact information for Heather. And, of course, after the show, Dr. Al wanted to contact her and coach her through this process with her daughter. So the bottom line is we have not heard from Heather. So if you are the one that referred Heather in Ocean Shores with her one-year-old daughter with all the illness problems, we really want to hear back from Heather. And Dr. Al would like to be in touch with her and coach her for free about what's going on with her daughter. So if you know who Heather is, have her give us a call today or call us and let us know how to get a hold of her. And the other thing, the other person that's been on my mind in particular is I'm wondering about Mike and Rascal in West Seattle. We usually hear from, Mike usually checks in on a fairly regular basis and lets us know how they're doing and often calls on Vet Sundays because Rascal's been on the Pluckner protocol. And so for some little concern, want to make sure that Mike and Rascal are okay. So, Mike, if you're listening, give us a call today. We'd like to know how you're doing. All right. In addition to Vet Sunday, I've got some follow-up here. I've got some news and a little bit of good news. We'll have about 10:50 current events as usual. New Pet of the Week with Nancy McKinney from King County Animal Care and Control. 11 o'clock, we will run our fall, our winter tip, keeping animals safe in the cold weather. And then, of course, Sandy, we're opening up the prize closet.
We are.
And we have, woohoo, Wagon Tails liver cookies.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
Little itty bitty ones, big ones.
Original formula, grain free formula. Right. You might be able to talk Sandy out of a duck. Whoever formed the new stuff. Boys, my Annie Golden just went absolutely goofballs over the duck liver cookies.
Oh.
And you took some home last week. Yep. How did your kids?
Oh, they loved them, of course. The Boxer, my Basset Hound, my 14-year-old boy who can't eat any grain, actually could eat those and didn't bloat when I was just too excited about that. So.
Ooh.
I think that even
looks at him cross-eyed and he bloats.
Right. And he's been doing that for 2 years, so I was a little nervous giving it to him because it has garbanzo beans, which can be a little gassy, but boy, he just, his whole body was quivering because he was getting cookies.
Yeah. Oh, Annie went nuts, and she's usually very polite and has nice manners, but I actually had to watch my fingers with those duck liver treats.
Yeah.
She wants to gobble them so fast. I mean, you can see her heart rate go up as soon as she said. Anyway, the Wagon Tails liver cookies, and we will be giving away some to listeners that call in today, and we also have 10% discount coupons if you want to order your liver cookies from Wagon Tails website, then we can give you a 10% discount off your order, so that's cool. And we, of course, have copies of Dr. Al's book.
That's right.
Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program. And you can call in with your animal or human medical care questions for Dr. Al, and we'd be delighted to give you a book. And I started to say it's really a nice Sunday morning. How long has it been since we could look? We look out from the Factoria area west towards Seattle. How long has it been since we could see the Olympics, the mountains over there? I don't remember seeing them for a long time.
No, we haven't.
But we can see them. We can see the city of Seattle. And Gary, you said it was gorgeous driving in, huh?
Yeah, the sunrise was
spectacular.
Yeah, really
sunrise
was.
Is not something that I see very often.
No, I prefer not to, but
sunset often, but
nice
sunrise.
To look at.
Yeah, I bet it was beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
I'd have preferred dreaming about it, asleep, but...
Okay.
Oh, well.
So we've got a regular show today. Woohoo! Let's hope we are done with the snow. All right, I got some follow-up here. Last week, what did we do? It was Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and Anything That Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday. Do y'all remember when we were talking to Leslie Henry, the clinic director at Sarvey Wildlife Rescue and Care Center? And she was telling us about all the snow up at Sarvey and how Freedom the Eagle had quit eating out in the cold,
right.
And they got very concerned about her, and they had to bring her inside and give her fluids, and then she started eating again, and then they had to bring Washkete in. Washkete quit eating as well, and they're in adjoining flights outside. And then after they brought them in, the weight of the snow, Freedom's flight collapsed. And part of Washkete's as well.
They had to feel that. They had to.
Well,
know,
and
that
was the question
doom.
I was saying to Leslie, that it felt to me like a Freedom was sensing the fact that that flight was going to come down.
Yes, I agree.
And that she had an intuitive knowing that it wasn't safe for her or Washkete to be in those flights. And that's why she did what she did, was to get them out of there. And, you know, Leslie was kind of like, well, okay, I suppose, and da-da-da-da-da-da. So, you know me, I don't push things. At least not always.
Well, I'm not going to say anything.
Okay, so the follow-up is I got home to my home computer and had an email from Jeff Guidry, who is Freedom's handler. And you all know Jeff because he's been in the studio with Freedom, and you've seen that wonderful email about the Jeff and Freedom story and all of that. So here is his email. Hi, Martha. I listened to you and Leslie today, and I am positive that Freedom knew that both flights were coming down. I think she told Washkete, too. Freedom has been kind of a teacher to Washkete. Washkete never talked until she hung out with Freedom, and now she's quite vocal. Freedom has never behaved that way before, even when it was very cold. She has been in this situation before and never has stopped eating. I am 100% sure she knew. From Jeff. So there you go.
Right.
Yep. It's another one there. So you see, animals are very intuitive. That's what I can remember years ago. When before the, or just after the big California earthquake, I remember I got referred a behavior case about a couple of Springer Spaniels, I think, from a woman called me that her dogs had absolutely freaked out and destroyed the inside of their home. And she needed help and counsel as to what was going on and how to make sure this never happened again, all that sort of stuff. Well, anyway, when all was said and done, and I had talked enough with her to get the time frame and all of that, and once figured out what was going on, is that those dogs, it was the day before the earthquake hit. And they knew it was coming. And, of course, their instincts told them to get the heck out of Dodge. So animals pick up on these things a lot more than humans do. But some humans do, too. It depends on how sensitive you are. So there you go. All right. It is time for us to get into the news. I have to say, there's not been a lot of animals in the news stuff. I mean, last week I had a ton of it, but I've been collecting it for 3 weeks. This week, not a lot, which is probably good because we don't have a lot of time. But I really had to scrape for the good news part of this week. Let's see here. Kind of in the follow-up department, the state reports on 2008 West Nile virus. It was apparently the most active season for West Nile virus in Washington since the monitoring began in 2001. There were 3 human infections reported during the year, 1 in King County, 2 in Yakima County. The King County resident had traveled to eastern Washington and was probably infected there. Let's see. The most of the positive cases, including 26 horses, were in Yakima County. Several of the birds that tested positive were found in western Washington, 3 in King and Pierce counties, and 1 each in Lewis and Thurston counties. So it is becoming more prevalent. Now, speaking of mosquitoes, because, of course, West Nile is spread by mosquitoes, interesting article in January 2nd, Post Intelligencer, shortening life of pest could slow spread of disease. Older mosquitoes carry bigger risk. Now, did you know this, Sandy? You know how long mosquitoes normally live?
It's a very short time, isn't it?
Yeah, 50 days.
Yeah, okay.
50 days. Now, this is Australian researchers figured out a way to make pests die younger naturally, not poisoned. Scientists have been racing to genetically engineer mosquitoes to become resistant to diseases such as malaria and Da Nang fever. But this latest report as of Friday suggested a potentially less complicated approach, breeding mosquitoes to carry an insect parasite that causes earlier death. Apparently, they've learned there's a fruit fly that carries this parasite that kills them early. And apparently, once mosquitoes are infected with, like, the viruses, like the malaria or the fever, it takes 2 weeks for it to incubate within them before they can bite somebody and pass it on. So the theory is if they could build in this parasite with the mosquito that they, because in their tests, the mosquitoes died in 21 days with the parasite instead of 50 days. So they could be infected but not live long enough to pass it on. And anyway, it's an interesting article if you want to take a look at that. I didn't see this, but did you see the grizzly TV show horrifies experts? It was a show that appeared on the Discovery Channel called Bear Feeding Frenzy.
No, I didn't see that.
Well, if you did, apparently it was very deceptive. And the state wildlife biologist called the self-proclaimed, quote, documentary misleading and worse. The bear expert that helped with the film says he got snookered and he regrets being involved now. But apparently they did something with having grizzly bears attack a dummy human being. But they made it look like they were doing this with wild grizzlies, and they're afraid that it's going to change people's, or make them feel even worse about grizzlies and be more afraid because they didn't. The bottom line is this was all filmed at the Wildlife Conservation Center, and these weren't wild bears. So they aren't teaching wild bears to, you know, kill, you know, tear apart people and all of that. So just in case you saw that, you might want to pull this up. Seattle Times, January 2nd. Grizzly TV will get you the right article. But apparently it was a sham. Oh, man. If you eat honey, you know, we've done so many programs on bees and honey and all of this. Did you see the PI's two-part series on that this week?
No, I don't read the paper.
Okay, well, this is one you all want to pull up. It was a two-part series called Honey Laundering that the PI ran on Tuesday, December 30th and Wednesday, December 31st. And it's like 4 pages of the paper or more. It's huge, and it talks about the plight of bees and all of that sort of thing. But most it's talking about, and I was pretty shocked about this. Do you know, and for honey that is sold in the U.S., I mean, first of all, the FDA, we have no definition of honey.
Right.
And so it's not monitored. There apparently we're now being affected by adulterated honey coming from foreign markets, and that it's not really honey, that they're adding a bunch of junk. And then there's another part of the fact that a lot of the honey that we're eating now is contaminated with major antibiotics because they're using that to try to keep the bees healthy. And none of this has to go on the label, and there's no checking, there's no monitoring, there's no following up, there's no punishing. There's no consequences if you put the wrong stuff on the label. So if you eat honey, folks, pull up, go to Seattle PI and search the honey laundering and all the related articles. It just makes the case for, you know, our bee gal that we've done on the show, and that, you know, has the local bees and the honey. It's really important to buy from somebody you know who's making the honey, and read the labels as to where it comes from and all that sort of thing. But according to this article, you can't even trust that.
Wow, there's tons on it.
Yeah. You're searching.
I'm on it. Yeah, my gosh.
Well, like I told you, it was like 4 full pages of the newspaper. So that's why I can only give you I'm directing you there to read about the bees, but about this honey laundering. And it's like, oh my God, I went right to my cabinet to see where my honey, it said it was made in the USA, but now I realize can't necessarily trust that.
Oh, that's why we buy local honey all the time.
Well, I know, you've been doing that, but I haven't, but I will be doing that now. Oh, okay, here's another interesting one. I almost put this in good news, but I couldn't quite stretch that far. Let's see, it's from the Seattle Times, January 2nd. If you want to read this, and I suggest that you do, cloned pups, just like mom?
Oh,
with a question mark.
Stop.
Well, let's see. Beloved pets, how much like the original are these two? A lot, says one owner whose company did the work. Not so much, says his mother, whose Misty died in 2002. It's an article about, the guy's name is Lou Hawthorne. He runs a company called biotech company BioArts, which is based in the Bay Area, but he arranged with a laboratory in South Korea to do the cloning. So he's doing cloning via a lab in South Korea. And it says, the most difficult thing about the cloned puppies is not telling them apart, but explaining why they don't look exactly alike. And let's see. In July, Hawthorne held a series of online auctions offering his services to 4 high bidders who agreed to pay from $130,000 to $170,000 for clones of their dogs. Now, to offset the accusations of elitism, he held a search for a 5th pro bono client. In a few weeks, the first 3 puppies from this group were born in South Korea. Now, the reason I put the, and sort of good news is that this is really bringing out the truth, what we've been trying to tell you for a long time, is that you can't clone the soul vibration. You can only clone the body.
Right.
And, of course, people think they're going to get exactly what's back. Now, Hawthorne quoted here, he's the son who bred these dogs. And so, of course, and he's the one that's making the $130,000 to $170,000 on the cloning. But his mother is the one that actually owned Misty. So let's see. He says, when Hawthorne recalls Misty, he tends to say, let's see, quote, she was an amazing dog, superior intellect, incredibly beautiful, obedient, a phenomenal temperament, he said. I especially loved her majestic plume of a tail. In the clones, he said, all those qualities are represented. So those would be general genetic tendencies.
Right.
Okay. Living with a clone, Hawthorne claims, is not like living with the original dog. So he's admitting that. And Misty 2, that Misty T-O-O, that's one of the puppies. I think there were four of these that were cloned from his mom's dog. Hawthorne gave her to his mother, Joan Hawthorne, who still misses the original Missy. She has yet to take a liking to Missy's clone. Now, she's quoted here, quote, they're not at all alike, Joan said of the old Misty and the new one. In looks, they are a little bit, of course, but I mean the puppy is delicate and aggressive. Missy was robust and completely calm. She added, quote, Missy couldn't come through my home or wouldn't come through my home and knock over every wine glass. Besides, she adopted another puppy not long after Misty died, quote, I already have a dog, a real dog.
Sounds like mom is not...
So mom's on board
right
here. She's got it. So that's just... This is the first article I've seen that really says from the person...
Right.
An unbiased, but an owner of whose dog was cloned, they're not... This is not the same dogs. These are not the same dogs. Might have the same genetic tendencies, but not the same dogs. So, okay. All right. There's not much, but how about a little...
You got a little bit there.
Good news.
We're
about
ready.
Animals.
Music maestro.
There you go. Woohoo! We could use a little of that today. It's bright out there, but I don't see any sun. Okay. Now, there was a nice article, first article in Good News. This was Friday, January 2nd, Seattle Times, New Year at the Zoo. There's a nice article about New Year at the Zoo and a great picture of our silverback gorilla contemplating
beautiful
the New Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some pictures of giraffes and stuff, and that's a nice little article. And within that article, it talks about... So the good news here about a Tahiti snail. They're very, very tiny. The snails were wiped out in their native Tahitian environment because of a plague of introduced exotic carnivorous rosy wolf snails from a rescue of 126 Partula snails is what they're called. So apparently, Woodland Park Zoo was able to rescue 126 Partula snails in 2003, and the zoo has rebuilt a population now of about 1,000 Partulas. And their handler, their keeper, Susan Anderson, apparently loves these little snails. She says, quote, I go home and think, you know what? We saved something today. She's rooting for the possibility that some of the Partulas she cares for will be flown to Tahiti to reintroduce the species in 2009.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so that's good for the zoo that they have saved a little teeny snail. All right, and then the winner of the best good news. This is a story out of Walla Walla. And if you want to look this one up for all the details, January 2nd, Seattle Times. Rescue dog overcomes past. Emaciated canine freed from owner, waiting since 2006 for adoption. So this dog, the Blue Mountain Humane Society rescued this dog in December of 2006. They renamed her, called her Xena, the warrior princess. And she was at the Humane Society for over 2 years.
Wow.
About the same time that she came in, a volunteer started working there. His name is Scott Davis. He's a disabled veteran, and he kind of became a fixture at the pound at almost the same time that Xena did. And, quote, "Xena was one of the first dogs I walked," he says, "and walked and walked and walked. The animal was strong, and Davis became Xena's default exerciser. Quote, I just worked and worked with her. Though he suffers from diabetes, back and neck pain, and mental health issues, volunteering at the shelter brought a healing for Davis, who's 50. Quote, it keeps me social, keeps me active, unquote. So once a week and more in good weather, he'd show up and work with Xena and walk her, and was always disappointed that no one adopted her. And he said he wasn't really surprised at the beginning, because at first she was really aggressive and mean, and then she mellowed out. And let's see, then over the Christmas holiday, apparently this fellow Scott Davis, because other people in his apartment building had started getting dogs, so they were allowing them in the apartment, he started taking Xena home with him on the weekends. And then over Christmas, she spent 6 days at his home. And he said, quote, I couldn't take it any longer. On Monday, he officially became Xena's owner, after what Davis calls essentially a 2-year home trial.
Wow, congratulations.
Now, the director of that Humane Society says it was hard to know who's rescuing whom. I think it is a very mutually beneficial situation, she said, a note of delight in her voice.
How nice.
So he saved the dog, but the dog also saved him. So what a great,
I think it always works that way.
Yep. So great rescue story. All right. Let us take care of our advertisers and sponsors while Sandy gets Dr. Al on the phone, and then it will be time to start Vet Sunday. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on, excuse me, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods to your animal friends, even if you home cook, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff? Well, that's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. Now, they start with human-grade, all-whole, natural, raw food sources. They've perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil package. Keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it. Mix up your animal friend's food, add in The Missing Link, a little cool water to mix it up, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes from the raw ingredients, the fiber. The Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats. There is a Missing Link formula for dogs, one for cats. There's a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats and other house critters like house rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, the like. There is a bird formula and a horse formula. And let's see. There is also a Missing Link Plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support, and a dog and horse formula. So ask for the Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or go directly to Designing Health. You can give them a call at 1-800-774-7387 or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Living Music Radio. High vibe music and talk.
Treat yourself to Living Music Radio with Janet, Narion, and special guests.
Living Music Radio, high vibe music and talk.
It's all about the magic of music and sound. With all that's going on these days, there's a real need for positive, uplifting music and radio. Living Music Radio.
Living Music Radio. For showtimes, go to livingmusicradio.com.
Today's pampered pets deserve a big apology. Pets are fed the same processed foods meal after meal, which they would never eat in the wild. Research continues to prove that the more we consume processed foods, the more health suffers. Over 25 years of Dr. Wysong's research has proven that pets suffer from the same degenerative diseases plaguing their human friends. Pets don't have a choice about what is put in their bowl, and their human caretakers have been led to believe that they're doing the right thing by feeding this way. Learn more at www.wysong.net. Wysong, the thinking person's pet food.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and you're listening to Animal World, for which I say thank you. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, it is the first Sunday of the month. That means it's Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program that applies to dogs, cats, horses, and humans. He's also the author of the compendium of articles. It's called Endocrine Immune Mechanisms in Animals and Human Health Implications. And without further delay, well, welcome back to Animal World, Dr. Al. Good morning, Dr. Al.
Good morning, Martha. How are you?
Well, I'm pretty good. How are you doing down there?
You guys snowed in there?
Well, not anymore. We certainly were. It was an incredible December, more snow than we've ever seen, and I don't know how long.
Kind of sounds like there's more coming, too.
Well, I was amazed today just driving into the studio that there's still snow piled up all around the edges of the parking lots and so forth. And they are expecting more in the area later today, but not right in our direct area, I think.
Right, I think we upset Mother Nature somehow.
Well, now, you're in Southern California. You don't have any snow down there, do you?
Definitely not.
Okay, good.
Definitely not. It's about 50 degrees, which is really nice. We're down to 42 last night, and, you know, people are freezing to death and kind of going, this is when we put shorts and flip-flops on in Idaho. Give me a break.
Well, that's true, yes, because you've been living in Idaho out in the middle of nowhere.
Betcha.
And I imagine that Idaho is buried right now.
They happen to be, and unfortunately, I think the Coeur d'Alene, Spokane area, they've had more snow than they've ever had. And last year was the worst second winter we've ever had in Idaho, and it sounds like this is going to be the worst one, unfortunately.
Wow. Well, now, ordinarily, when we start Vet Sunday with you each month, I mean, we chit-chat like this and talk about, you know, the weather and what's going on at your property in Idaho and the wildlife and all that stuff and what's going on with your practice down there. And then we get into the imbalance and what's going on with all of that. But we are going to do a little deviation and plan right now because we do have on the other line, Dr. Al, you mentioned a veterinarian to me Friday evening when we talked, and apparently he's called us. So tell us, and he doesn't have a lot of time, so we want to get him on the air right away. So who is this guy we're bringing into the fold here?
Okay, this is Dr. Bleem, Bernard Bleem, just a great guy who has literally looked at my work that I've been trying to get out for so many years, and I think he's probably the answer to getting it out. So he's excited about it. He believes it. He's done now a number of cases, and, you know, I think he's going to be the eyes and ears of how to get my life's work out, to be honest with you, which
all
I
right.
haven't been able to do. So,
well, let's find out if that's true, because right now we will welcome to Animal World for the first time Dr. Bernard Bleem. Good morning, Dr. Bleem.
Good morning.
Hey, it's nice of you to join us.
You know, I hear you guys talking about snow. I'm the kind of guy who says, snow, great, let's get a snowboard. Hey!
Well, come on out here to the Great Northwest because we
I think about it. I really would think about it, but right now Al's got me so excited with this work that I've got some work to do. I'm going to hang out here for a while.
Now, is Sandy correct? Are you in Illinois?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Central-ish. It's a nice day, 41, not bad, and I have on my shorts and my flip-flops. Okay.
41 degree. Okay, so I guess you and Al are in the same on the same page. Now, I was born in Chicago, so does that count?
Well, it's a little more blustery than I like Central Illinois where I'm at. And I was raised on a dairy farm, so we pretty much, you know, we expect about anything.
Okay, and how long have you been a practicing veterinarian?
23 years. Graduated from the University of Illinois in 85.
All right, well, tell us, how did you discover Dr. Al's work?
Well, originally, a woman with no place to go called me and said, hey, check out this guy's work. We had a golden retriever. She's 9 years old, beautiful animal. Her name is Jill Ruttenberg. I'm sure she wouldn't mind me using her name.
Mm-hmm.
Calls me up, says, have you seen this guy's work? Well, many, 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 many years ago, I used to try anything and everything to help an animal that was both acceptable and also ethical. And, you know, some stuff worked, some stuff didn't work. And I said, sure, we'll check it out. So I got digging on this and went ahead, did some testing. And sure enough, this animal had what now is being referred to as the Plechner syndrome.
When you said you did testing, did you do the EI1 profile that you sent to the National Veterinary Diagnostic Services in California?
Correct.
And you found out that that golden retriever had the imbalance.
Exactly. And you guys have probably explained what the EI test is, right?
Okay. Yeah, we do that. Unfortunately, there may be people listening that haven't heard Dr. Al on the air before. We wanted to get you on right away because I understand you have some time constraints, and so we'll kind of do the show in reverse, and we'll talk about the imbalance and go into details again later on. But most of the people listening,
I've got to listen to this whole show sometime. Is it on the web?
Yes,
you can listen to it tonight in its entirety.
You can go back to and listen to previous Vet Sundays with Dr. Al or any of the shows that we do. You want to access that through my website, which is marthanorwalk.com.
Okay.
And then on the home page, there is a link to the audio archives.
Okay.
And usually each Sunday...
I am catching up.
Yeah. well, we're delighted that you're part of our family now. And sounds like we'll have to include you from time to time on our shows here to tell us what work you're doing back there. So at any rate, this golden retriever got you started with Al's work. And you tested now. Were you able to help that dog with after diagnosing this imbalance?
Well, I think what people need to know is that the work that Dr. Al Plechner has done has laid down a solid foundation for probably, now I'm just guessing, I'm new at this, I've been working with this for a couple months, probably 70% of the problems I see walking the door have some sort of variation of this problem. So here's a golden retriever that was probably 5 years down the road of imbalance and the body trying to somehow correct itself on its own, and so this dog was pretty bad off. I will tell you in a nutshell, the dog's doing much, much better. Now,
what kind of symptoms or clinical signs were we talking about with this golden retriever?
Well, for 8 years I had been working with allergies.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's important that people would know that now when I walk into a room, I just look the client straight in the face and I say, do you want me to suppress these symptoms or do you want me to solve the dog's problem?
Yeah, good
for you. In this particular case, this animal, there's no question. I was getting high praises as a veterinarian for suppressing this animal's symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
The dog had been doing wonderful. Then mega esophagus popped up. That is a situation where the body starts attacking the little muscle neurons, parts of the esophagus, and it wasn't working. Now, because this dog is so far into its complex, we may never get it back to a state of health. However, we're still working with it, and the dog is doing incredibly better. In fact, Dr. Shelton's lab right out there in California, the neuromuscular lab she's like the guru of neuromuscular people.
Mm-hmm.
She is working with us. We're not giving up on this kid, but in a nutshell, I would say this dog is doing a lot better. I have seen dogs that haven't been as far down the road of imbalance and problems, even responding better. Al Plechner's work has opened up a big, big door for me to actually help these patients.
It really is unbelievable, and I'll tell you, depending on, because I've been featuring Dr. Al here on the program for over 5 years now, since the book Pets at Risk was originally published, and so we've got hundreds of cases going on up here in our area, and depending on who you talk to, the estimates that I get are anywhere from 50 to 90% of dogs, cats, horses, and humans have this imbalance.
And I even think birds, but
Those are the ones we mentioned. Isn't that right, Dr. Al? We mentioned those because we know it's there, but it's probably in other animals as well. You just can't say that for sure.
You remember Judge Bauer with her bird that had epileptic seizures, and by changing the diet, the seizures is over with.
Well, yeah, Annette, she's the one also, I was going to mention Dr. Bleem. I'm sure you've talked to, Al's mentioned this to you, but she's got a rescue bulldog that also had mega esophagus and major problems related to that. But that dog, at least the clinical signs or the symptoms of that mega esophagus have pretty much disappeared. Biscotti is not
inhaling from that. Area of megasophagus now, and she is on the program, and she's jumping around just a good girl.
She's doing
now.
Really, really well. Now, Dr. Bleem, golden retrievers happen to be my breed that I've had for decades now, and I've discovered, in my times of living with Goldens and so forth, that they are extremely food sensitive. And I remember when Dr. Al's first book came out in the early 80s as a vet tech and an animal behavior therapist and trainer, I jumped on his work right away and started using all the food advice about hypoallergenic diets, simple formulas, higher quality, food rotation. And I was able to eliminate all the skin problems and allergy problems with my Goldens from that point on.
Absolutely.
And so I would imagine, have you found with the golden retriever that you're treating? I would imagine that dog is really food sensitive. Or do you know that yet in working with this dog?
Well, at this point, as a veterinary profession, because Al or I are not trying to put down what's going on. As a veterinary profession, most vets, are well aware of the implications of macro and micronutrition as well as hypoallergenic type problems, not only for skin or bowel or whatever. But this and I have to say now, I look at this problem as it's fine to consider hypoallergenic diets in dogs that are exhibiting signs that could be related to allergies in food. But still do the test.
Oh, absolutely.
And right now, I actually have five cases that I am doing the allergy study. This is actually the looking for IgE, which is a antibody that is released from the mast cells that causes most of the irritation, at least the clinical symptoms. And we're going to test those animals. If they have Plechner syndrome, we're going to correct the Plechner syndrome, then we're going to come back and retest them to see what is really going on in their immune system. It's easy enough to say, hey, I've got a dog, looks like it could have food allergies, go ahead and do the trial. But I want to encourage people to also go ahead and get them tested, because it's going to come popping back up like something else.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mean to imply that
eventually
you could solve all the problems by changing the food, but as Dr. Al, says, with dogs, food is a major component of this imbalance. Because you can diagnose, you can have an out-of-balance EI1 profile, you can put them on meds, and you can bring those, the estrogen down, the cortisol up, the antibodies up, but if the dog is still eating something it's truly allergic to, you're not going to solve the problems.
I agree. And what's very interesting about what Dr. Al Plechner has informed me of, and I agree, is that if you have an imbalance, that dog is not going to be absorbing like it should.
Mm-hmm.
And so absolutely, the Plechner syndrome does not give us the answer to everything, but it gives us the answer to a lot of things. And a dog that is out of balance can be brought back into balance and still remain on a good diet. And it's just going to live better, longer, happier, healthier.
That's great. I'm so glad you took the time to join us this morning. Now, we have to take care of our advertisers and sponsors here for a couple of minutes. Can you hold on for another
segment?
One more
segment. Let's go for it.
All right. We'll put you both on hold. Stay with us. Animal World continues with Dr. Al and also Dr. Bleem right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Isn't that pretty music? I like that. I like those birds. Hey, Canada Pet Foods is committed to providing you and your pets the highest standard of excellence for product quality, palatability, and customer satisfaction. They pride themselves on making only the highest quality all-natural pet foods using the finest ingredients available. All of their products are made the Canada way, with superior quality in every bag and can, with no corn, wheat, soy, grain fractions, fillers, or byproducts, and they're naturally preserved. Discover for yourself and your pets the benefits of feeding Canada and Felidae all-natural pet foods. Go to www.canada for more information. This is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I'd like to talk to you about Robin Alexis. Although I liked Robin right away, I was skeptical at first. But let me tell you, that was unwarranted, and now I believe that Robin is the real deal. Often referred to as the metaphysical mother, Robin's a spiritual empowerment coach with incredible gifts. Robin's a medium, ghost and baby whisperer, medical intuitive, past life reader, animal communicator, and channel. In addition to being a radio and TV personality and author, she's also a Reiki master teacher. Simply put, Robin is amazing. I know because she's been helping me incredibly on many levels. Robin is nurturing, powerful, and did I say phenomenally gifted? Robin can help you too. Her books and personal one-on-one phone readings can change your life forever. Let Robin help you heal and release those blockages so you can experience life more fully. To schedule a reading, go to robinalexis.com, and while you're there, download a free copy of the first two chapters of her new book. That's robinalexis.com, or give her a call at 360-457-2993. That's 360-457-2993. Urine contamination is a common and stubborn problem. Conventional cleaning methods are not the answer. Anti-Icky Poo works quickly and naturally, and it's my all-time absolute favorite odor neutralizer. This unique bacteria enzyme solution converts the waste directly into carbon dioxide, a safe and odorless gas found in everyday clean air. Ask your vet for Anti-Icky Poo or call 1-800-745-1671. Anti-Icky Poo, it's a serious product with a funny name that really works, especially on cat urine. 1-800-745-1671.
Some people know a good thing when they hear it. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Martha Norwalk, and my goodness, we're winding down the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We're just getting started on our Vet Sunday. It's Dr. Al Pleckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program, and the Human Compendium of Articles on the same subject. Dr. Al is with us. Dr. Al?
Yes, Martha, hi.
All right, you're still there. And for the first time, we welcome Dr. Bernard Bleem from Illinois, a veterinarian who has relatively recently gotten involved with Dr. Al's work and is all excited and gung-ho. Are you still
I've been waiting for him. You know, I've been waiting for
You've been waiting for him
time.
All your life, huh?
Yeah, I'm not sure what took him so long, but I'm glad
Hey, how
here.
About that, Dr. Bleem?
You know what I see happening is just people starting to just simply acknowledge that this stuff is real. There's no question. So,
yeah, well, anyway. You know, I can say for the veterinarians in our area, what I run into is we have if you've got the open-minded veterinarian, which it sounds like that's where you came from. It's like, okay, I'll take a look at this. And of course, once you read Al's stuff and look at it, it's kind of like, oh gosh, could have had a V8 on this one. It's simple. Yeah. It makes total sense. Why not give it a try? And of course, you start to work with it, and then you see the miraculous changes in the animals, and it's amazing. Now, unfortunately, there's some closed-minded vets out there that have either heard something or hear the word cortisone and say, oh, quack, not even going to look at it. But as Dr. Al says, often those vets are not interested in helping their patients. It's more lining their pocketbooks. But I don't know if that's always the case, but I do know vets in our area. Yeah, the vets in our area that have gotten on
board. Bernie knows that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're there to heal your patient, not your wallet.
Yeah,
and if you get your wallet healed while you're healing your patient, that's plenty good. But one does not come after the other, you know.
So you've just, Dr. Bleem, been working with this for a couple of months now, huh? Is that what you said?
That's correct.
All right.
That's correct. And back at you, Al, I've been waiting for this my whole life.
Well, I'm glad, but where have you been?
Yeah.
This rock and roll, I'm getting so old now I'm you know, kind of decrepit. I'm petrifying. I may be here for a long time in the petrified forest.
I don't think so. You're working too hard anymore now to petrify, Dr. Al.
Yeah, but you know, I love it. I'm so glad to be back in practice and to be able, you know, with people like yourself and Dr. Bleem. I mean, it justifies my entire life. And so I'm rejuvenated. I'm ready to rock and roll. So look out.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, I mean,
now
here's
go ahead.
Here's a guy who loves to practice.
Yeah.
He could retire. He loves animals. I love his heart. I've never met him personally, but I just love his heart.
Yeah, yeah. And he did retire for some time. But we pulled him out.
Out of frustration, though.
Yeah, we pulled him out of the snow piles in Idaho and put him on the air, you know. And so we've been keeping him busy on the air here for the last 5 years or so. And, of course,
it's been six. You know that? It was the anniversary last December. It was 6 years.
Was it that long? I thought it was 5 years.
No, it was six.
Yeah, well, it's been a long time.
In the next program, I'm going to give you a quiz, so pay attention now.
Okay.
So, I tell you what, there's a lot of good wisdom in that man, and I hope he's ready because I'm going to be calling him a lot.
Well, yeah, and I wonder, hopefully you will...
I just changed my telephone number.
Well, I'm wondering now, because Dr. Bleem, it's always nice to have other vets participate on Vet Sunday and on Animal World, but, you know, there's a lot of great vets out there, but they don't talk so well on the radio.
You know what else, too? They are using the syndrome, they're getting results, but they're afraid that they'll be criticized by their profession if they basically talk about it.
Yeah.
And Dr. Bleem is here like I am. We're here to help animals and people, period. That's what we were created to do. And there's no way we're going to sway from our direction. And in our entire life, if we can leave more than we take, we will.
Yeah.
And that's what we're about.
Now, I know Dr. Bill Burlingame, who is the vet in our area, Dr. Bleem, who has the most experience in working with the Pleckner syndrome and cases and the treatment protocol and that sort of thing, and has been a vet here on Animal World, a Vet Sunday vet for many, many years. And he often tells me stories about, you know, he gets online in these veterinary chat groups and stuff related to things, and there'll be all this... negativity flowing about Dr. Al and his work, and Dr. Bill says every once in a while he chimes in there and says, you know, you guys, you know, you really need to take a look at this because it is working. You know, something is happening here, and you ought to take a look. But you know, there still is a lot of negativity out there just related.
There's a horrible amount, but that's okay though. You know, move on.
What I think we're going to do this year is I think we're going to get ourselves in a position to actually prove this in enough areas. See, when a dog breaks their bone,
mm-hmm.
we fix it. We set it. We make sure that the owners do the proper setup, follow-up. And we can even test an animal at that time for rate of healing and try to give the animal the best experience we can while it's healing. We're not talking about every aspect of medicine, but there are some really hot topics. I think that Al and I were kicking around an idea
mm-hmm.
that the reason why. Now, Al, can I throw this out there? You correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, please do. No.
Well, I think right now I'm thinking the reason why a dog comes down with parvo or a puppy may come down with parvo is because it has a predisposed immune system that we can test for versus a dog comes down with parvo because of some strange thing we don't understand.
Right.
I will tell you, there has, in 23 years of practice, there have been so many things that have come down the pipe as far as, you know, the magical bullet to take care of parvovirus. Well, I've only been working with Al a short time, but in Illinois, parvo is as ubiquitous, that is as common,
mm-hmm.
as a cold.
Mm.
In Illinois, parvovirus is really still common.
Wow.
And every single puppy that I follow, what we're going to refer to as the Pleckner Protocol, how's that, Al?
Mm-hmm.
Can we call it the Pleckner Protocol? Every single puppy gets better.
Yeah.
And we're talking dead. I mean, these
mm-hmm.
puppies, I also am the senior veterinarian at a no-kill shelter in central Illinois that has over 400 animals. Don't ask me where I get all my energy, but these animals are laying with, they're so dehydrated you can see through them. They are laying there dead. And if I put them on the Pleckner protocol like now,